What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Drive safe out there, everybody. Snow falling out here in Houston as we welcome in our Odyssey NFL Insider here at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday. Ross Tucker. Make sure to check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, daily NFL podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a really good, before we let Ross talk, it is a really good podcast. You guys should listen to it. He has really good guests on. Every now and then a Seth Payne appearance, and I would also like Ross. I'm guessing Ross is still into this even at his advanced age. Sean just implored everybody to drive carefully, but there's nothing wrong with going to an empty parking lot and doing some donuts, is there, Ross?
Oh man, wait a minute. There's no way you guys have that much snow that people can be doing donuts.
Yes. Today, yeah, we're expecting to get ultimately about 4 or 5 inches of snow here in Houston today.
What?
Yes. It's crazy.
Does that ever happen to you guys?
We're not ready for it, Ross. No. Very, very rarely. We'll get snow, but very rarely accumulation. I think the last time we got accumulation was when my wife was pregnant 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That's how we knew God was blessing us.
A couple things. First of all, it is 2 degrees here in central Pennsylvania right now.
Mm.
Two. And we got just about a foot of snow on Sunday during the Eagles game. We got more in central PA than they got down near Philly. But you guys telling that story, I'm sure you have examples of this because both of you guys are originally from the Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
So I can remember the year is 2003. Bill Parcells gets hired as the Cowboys head coach and he calls a meeting, you know, I don't know, in like mid-February, which is very unusual for NFL, right? You're off until you have to go back for the off-season program. Well, not Parcells. He called a meeting, and we all had to be there. So I fly into Dallas, and there's bad weather. It's like a mix of, like, ice and a little bit of snow. And I get picked up by a fellow offensive lineman, friend of mine named Tyson Walter, who's from Cleveland. And so we're driving to, I don't know if I'm staying at his house or I can't remember, but we're driving, and that was the first time I realized that people in Texas, at least in Dallas, have no idea whatsoever how to drive in like icy or snowy conditions. Like he's from Cleveland. I'm from Reading, Pennsylvania. We're like laughing as people are in the ditches. People are like hitting the gate. People are like driving. And then all of a sudden, they'll slam on the brake.
Yeah.
And we're like, are these people idiots? Like it was like a movie scene where, like, half the cars are, like, spinning out. And, like, they're literally doing everything you're not supposed to do when you drive, and we're like we were fine. It was really like we were fine and used to it. It was really just like a video game where we had to avoid all of the idiots. And I'm just like curious, is that what it's like? No offense to any of the idiots driving right now, but is that what it's like in Houston when there's snow?
There's a little bit of that because there's people that just don't understand. Like, there's no such thing as being a coward when it's like this, everybody. Like, you be a coward. Like, it's just however fast it feels comfortable. No, you go slower than that. I think what sometimes people don't realize is that four-wheel drive does not turn your vehicle all of a sudden into something that, like a spider on a web or something.
Magical
like
machine. Yeah, yeah.
Especially, God help you.
It's like, oh, I have four-wheel drive. I'm good. No. You still have to go super slow when you're going down a hill. You want to actually hit the brake as little as possible. You certainly don't want to go fast and then hit the brake. And the other thing, I noticed this, even in Pennsylvania, I saw this the other day. If you're going up a hill, you got to hit the gas, bro. Like, you got to go. You can't, like, go slow up the hill. You're going to get stuck. Like, you got to go. I mean, it's just funny, really funny.
Well, part of it, though, too, Ross, is that the roads aren't quite built for it either. And I'm thinking specifically everybody out there who's driving right now. If you're going from 45 north getting on to 59.
Oh, yeah.
Get elevated. That one elevated ramp. Oh, my gosh. Be careful.
Yeah.
Go. Stay away from it completely.
Yes.
Because you're going to be super careful. Somebody's going to come barreling behind you, not being careful. Just stay the hell off that thing. I've had some harrowing moments on that when it gets below freezing.
Someone who listens to way less responsible radio than Payne and Pendergast.
Going from what? It's 45 north to 59 south.
Yeah.
It's that ramp right there.
It's nasty. It's terrifying. It's a sharp turn. All right, Ross, let's get into football. You were on that Texans and Chiefs game on Saturday. We'll get into Mahomes and the calls with the officials and stuff like that, but I'm curious, just you've watched a lot of Texans football this season, especially down the stretch. You called several of their games. What should the mood be right now in your mind for the fan base heading into 2025 with this team?
Ooh, that's such a good, broad question. I think I would say I would be optimistic with some minor tweaks that we can compete at the highest level. I think that would probably be the mood. You know, I thought for the most part they outplayed the Chiefs in that game. I thought it was a very, again, for the most part, favorable evaluation of CJ Stroud. I mean, guys, I loved what he did running with the ball. He made some big time throws. I think you're also right if you're extremely frustrated by both a couple of the calls that were made by the officials in the game, but I'm more of a personal accountability, personal responsibility guy. The Texans killed themselves with dumb penalties that were penalties or dumb mistakes. You know, like, you know, some of the mistakes they made, you know, you think about the Fairbairn misses, you think about the opening kickoff and then Boyd throwing his helmet. You think about some of the sacks that CJ took. I mean, I can't remember, but at one point, I think they had gotten into Chiefs territory in like their first five or six drives. And had 6 points or whatever to show for it. I would have a weird mix, if I'm a Texans fan right now, of frustration, because that was, I know they lost by two scores, but that was actually a very winnable game. So I'd be frustrated that we had those self-inflicted wounds or unforced errors that cost us the game, including mental errors like not blocking the right guy sometimes, which happened all year. So that would be maddening to me. And then also, you're playing the Chiefs in the playoffs, and you let Travis Kelce be the guy that kills you. That would really bother me as well. The flip side to that is, those feel like correctable errors, like correctable mistakes. And it feels like, you know what? Like, we really might have the talent to be as good as these other teams. I think we have the quarterback and the head coach to be as good as these other teams. And if we had had Tank Dell or Diggs, because there were several plays where those other receivers, whether it was Hutchinson or Wayne or whatever, they didn't make plays that were there to be made that probably would have been different if they had Diggs. I'd have like a real almost 50-50 mix of frustration and optimism, if that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Ross, so a lot of the issues that you brought up offensively fall back to the play and performance of the offensive line. And in pass protection, obviously we include the tight ends and the running backs in that as well, with blitz pickup in particular. But the blocking, let's just call it blocking. The blocking was not what it needed to be this year. Even in the playoffs there, where they ran the ball pretty effectively, they weren't really able to run nearly as effectively in the red zone as they were in the middle of the field. The report right now is that Chris Strausser, the offensive line coach, is going to retire. Is there, from everything you've watched of the Texans this year, did you see an opportunity to, at the very least, a different offensive line coach might make a big difference if you get the, like, they're not going to get Jeff Stoutland, for instance, but, like, if they got a guy that was as good as Jeff Stoutland, could it be as simple as that?
I certainly, looking at it, you know, the nicest way to say it is there were way too many mental errors by the offensive line this year for the Texans. And those just can't happen. Those are how you get beat. And it's interesting because, like, compare and contrast to the Chiefs, right? The Chiefs really didn't do anything that special, but they don't make the dumb mistakes. You know what I mean? Like, they don't make the critical penalties. They don't make the missed assignments, or even like, why is late in the game do we have Dalton Schultz and a running back blocking George Karlaftis? Like, what are we doing? I was frustrated from a tactical standpoint with some of the scheme for the Texans, but also the way they did not carry it out effectively either. I think position coaches matter quite a bit. I don't know much about, you know, their offensive line coach, but certainly I can speak to my experience with 9 different offensive line coaches, and even just seeing other position groups and, you know, seeing how much an upgrade in a position coach can make for a unit, no doubt.
Ross Tucker's our Odyssey NFL insider, joining us here on Sports Radio 610. I would love to have heard your call, Ross, on the 2 penalties the Texans sustained, the 2 unnecessary roughness penalties, one on Will Anderson, one on Henry Toa against Patrick Mahomes. The first one was in the pocket. It happens. The second one looked like Mahomes was trying to draw the penalty there. He had the flop later on in the game. Where are you on those calls, and where are you on what the league, or even if, in your opinion, the league needs to do something about how that whole rule is adjudicated?
Well, there were 4 calls. I mean, there might have been more, but there were certainly 4 calls that jumped out to me during the game as bad. Mm-hmm. 3 went against the Texans, 1 went against the Chiefs. You know, maybe it offsets itself. I did not like the offensive pass interference call on Dalton Schultz.
Mm-hmm.
I did not think that was he was just running straight, and Nazee Johnson, the Chiefs corner, engaged with him and didn't even fight over the top to try to get on the outbreaking route. So that one really bothered me. I thought the holding call that they called on Trey Smith for the Chiefs was bad,
yeah,
right?
Like, yeah.
Maybe they had the wrong number. I don't know, but that was not a hold. He got pulled down by the Texans D tackle by the back of the head. Like, so there were other bad calls. You know, I will say I think Mahomes does a really, really good job of drawing those fouls.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big fan of it. I think it's sort of like the soccerification of football, which I'm not, I like, or like the NBAification of football. Like, I don't want that. I mean, I don't want that at all in our sport. But Mahomes is going to do anything and everything possible, okay, to win the game. And when Will Anderson hit him, Mahomes snapped his head back like it was whiplash in a car accident. So if you're the referee behind him and you see Will Anderson not go low, not lower his target area, it looks like there's face-to-face contact and Mahomes' head snaps back, you're probably going to throw the flag too. And then I really did not like how late. He didn't even slide with the toe-o-toe-o one. He just kind of dropped his butt at the last second.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't even a slide. I didn't like that one either. What I would tell you guys is that the answer is for those things to be reviewable.
Yeah.
But that's not even the case. Because Sunday on NFL Network, Walt Anderson, the head of officiating for the NFL, went on NFL Network and said they were both the right call. So, I mean, the answer is, don't even give them a chance.
Yeah.
Don't even, if you're Will Anderson, hit him, like put your shoulder in his ribs. If you're those other guys, let's just, like, when he drops at the last second, it's almost like when you go near him, you have to be aware, and I hate this, but when you get close to him, you have to know he's going to do something at that point to try to draw the foul. And you can't put yourself in that situation. You cannot put yourself in that spot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only answer right now, and it's not a good answer. But if Walt Anderson's going to go on TV the next day and say those were the right calls, then what are we going to do?
Yeah. Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, does a phenomenal job for us here and great on the radio as well. Make sure to check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, daily NFL podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Ross, we appreciate the time as always.
Yeah, listen, so great talk with you guys this year. Bummed that the season's over for the Texans, but hopefully we connect at least once or twice here before the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Will you be at the Super Bowl?
I will. Will you guys or not?
We will. Yeah, we'll be there too. We'll see you in New Orleans.
Oh, man. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Awesome.
Seth will actually hang with us this time. It'd be great.
I tried to hang with you last time. You ghosted me. I didn't even get a reply to my text. So, yeah.
That's not true.
Don't play that game when you're on a microphone.
What are you talking about? Sean and I were hanging out. Where were you that night?
Oh, yeah, that was in Houston. I wasn't there. Yeah, that's. I was talking about the Super Bowl last year, I tried to hang with you, and I got no response.
That is not true.
It's 100%
always
true.
This is scary because somebody else told me that recently. I am a reply to everybody guy on text. Like, I'll get 6 texts from radio producers today to go on their shows. I will reply to all of them, sorry, no, or if I, you know, it's usually sorry, no, but, like, I reply to anybody that ever texts me because I hate being ghosted. So you're the second person this season that told me that happened, which means something weird happened with my phone. I reply, especially you. Even if I was like, no, you're a loser and ugly, I would still reply.
I'd be more likely to reply to that one, I got to tell you.
Ross, there's a very good chance that I texted the wrong person.
All right, Ross, we'll...
Let's see. Wait, I'm looking at my text from last year, or February 6th. Do you have any time to chat in person one of these days? Hey, which office does your ad results contact work out of? Nope, no replies. From February 6th through May 6th, I sent you 3 different texts and no replies. No replies.
Dude, that 1,000% means I didn't get them. So now we got to figure that out.
Yep. From a year ago. Yeah, we got to figure out this technical issue with your phone from February of last year. That's what we got to do.
That is scary to me because somebody else showed me a text that they sent me that I hadn't replied to, but I never got it. Anyway, I got to figure it out.
Okay, I feel better now.
I got no issues with you, Ross. You replied from the press box at the last game when I texted when you were on TV. So I'm just so you know, I'm cool with you. All right.
I could show, like, next time I see you guys, I'll show you my text. I've replied to every single one that's in, because I'm also a deleter. So I'll reply and then delete.
Yeah.
I like to keep it clean.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, we are brothers from another mother, man. The empty inbox, baby. Love that. Love
that. Trying.
I'm
trying.
Yep. Hey, Ross, we appreciate it. We'll see you in New Orleans, man.
All right. See you guys.
All right. Take it easy. I love that you were able to, while we're talking to him, go all the way back to February 6th and find the text.
Yeah, there's a little bit more to it than that. Ross wasn't quite much. Anyway, I created a list of reasons that Ross Tucker could be the next offensive line coach.
I saw that.
I wrote it all myself, and I would never ask ChatGPT to do it for me.
A lot of typing to do during an interview in the
show.
Yeah,
I know. It's crazy that I wrote a 1,000 word argument for it.
Bullet points and everything.
ChatGPT came up with some good stuff. Deep football knowledge, strong communication skills, passion and enthusiasm, dedication to the game.
Relatability.
And then why does this matter to NFL teams? Relatability, because he was a player who played in the game. Mm-hmm. Modern perspective, because he would bring a fresh perspective informed by his media work, where he's constantly analyzing the latest trends in offensive line play.
You know what?
We know Titus Howard and Laramie like trends. They're very trendy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He'll also be the next offensive line coach
They're
for the Texans.
Big into the trends. Yeah, this is it's actually a pretty good argument for Ross Tucker. It's good an argument for anybody right now.
I think that is one of the things, because, you know, I've experimented a lot with ChatGPT, Gemini, and that it's good for some things, it's horrendous for others. It seems like for resume building and things like that, it does a pretty good job of kind of especially finding strengths that you wouldn't realize are strengths, or like when you've got blind spots in your own, the way to trump up your own resume. Seems like they do a pretty good job with that.
You should see if Ross Tucker, it would actually be, you know, relative to the rest of society, highly qualified to be an offensive line coach. You've never been a coach before, to my knowledge.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing.
You should ask Gemini about just like people that have nothing to do with football, why they should be the Texans' offensive line coach, and see what they say.
I was thinking about this yesterday. It's one of the big problems with football is that it's chock full of football players, and by that I mean the pool you pull from, and I include myself in this, the pool you pull from are former guys who largely, like almost unanimously, at least played college football, and you look at the GPAs, the team GPAs of the football team versus, say, the cross country team or anything else in college sports, there's a big difference.
Yeah.
We're not the sharpest bunch of pencils in the box necessarily.
No.
I feel like there's some that's why I don't fight against analytics too much, because there's room for more high IQ people in a football organization.
Mm-hmm.
But the playing experience does matter.
Yes.
It does. But so trying to pull from maybe unconventional places and resources and trying to hire coaches, I think there's room for that.
Yeah. Well, you know my feeling on college football head coaches.
You think they're the dumbest people?
They're the dumbest millionaires on the
planet.
They're
the dumbest millionaires in America,
yes.
Other than like lottery winners and trust fund kids,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. They're the dumbest millionaires for sure. Like, just IQ, I like general logic-wise.
I would say football coaches and football players, like athletes ourselves, and musicians. Yeah. Those are probably the richest people who don't have the normal of self-made millionaires, don't have maybe the normal traits of other self-made millionaires.
That's a great way to put it. Yes, it's a traits thing for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year, because you you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed's sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, CJ Stroud met with the media yesterday, and he had some really interesting things to say. We'll get to CJ on Bobby Slowik in a minute, but here's CJ on having to have hard conversations with people about how the season went.
Yeah, it's not just today. You know, it's not just this week. It's over time, and most of them are individual, and some of them are as a collective. For me, you know, it's my job to be honest and my job to be transparent, and that's what I feel like I'll do, you know, throughout this time and, you know, with free agency and draft and everything. If my opinion is asked, I'm going to give it, like it or not. So, yeah, and I think I would like that same type of honesty back to myself, because, you know, with that comes clarity, and it comes just clear communication and transparency. So, yeah, it'll be over time, but I definitely think today was the start of that, and, you know, we'll continue to have conversations, and, you know, and it's a healthy thing. It's not a bad thing, you know. It's really healthy to have those type of conversations, and even if they turn into, you know, things where it's confrontation or whatever, you know, that's necessary. We're all men in here, mostly, and you figure it out, and you know, and we all got love for another. You spend years with guys, or you spend a whole year with somebody, you'll learn to like them and learn to have things to like about them, so yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good lesson for any organization. You got to be able to disagree with each other. The old saying, if two people agree about everything, then one of them is unnecessary. Like, yep. You've got one tail. Like, it's so, yeah. Yeah, productive conflict is it's a very mature thing, and it's a hard thing to cultivate. But I do think, at the very least, CJ and Bobby seem to have that type of a relationship.
Yeah.
They're able to disagree with each other, but not get all sensitive about it. That's a healthy relationship. If you got a healthy marriage, you and your wife should be able to disagree about certain things, but it's not like it dooms the marriage. You got to have productive conflict. I think the Texans are in a good place with that, with a lot of their key people. If they do choose to stay with Bobby Slowik, I'm not worried about that part of it. I think they're able to have those hard conversations.
Where are you? I'll be honest with you. The part where he started talking about providing his input on free agency and the draft and stuff like that, it started to feel a little like Deshaun back when there was no GM and no head coach, and he wanted to be involved, and they did. I think they did converse with him about it, and then they went in a completely different direction. And
I think that's the key. It's the you got in that when you want to put your input in there. I think CJ understands that he can put his input in there, and they're not always going to do the thing that he would like or he would prefer.
I agree.
Gets that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if now it was like, I don't want to just, you know, pile on Deshaun or anything, but like, there were so many things that were different about the organization at that point.
Yes.
I don't want to say like, oh yeah, Deshaun wasn't mature or anything like that. I think it just wasn't a healthy environment at that point for multiple reasons.
Yeah, I'm merely acknowledging the fact that when I heard CJ say that, my brain went to that place. And I'm like, last time we were here, this became a big point of contention. To your point, I think CJ is more mature than Deshaun right now than Deshaun was when he was here with the Texans, clearly on many levels. And I think this is just, I think it's a much more conducive environment to those conversations, to taking the input, to conveying the understanding that you're not handpicking these guys, you're just providing your input on this stuff.
Well, and the other part of it too was CJ said yesterday he understands the game, and that it's one of the things he's learned is, okay, this team's not going to look the same next year.
Yeah.
And there's going to be guys that come. There's going to be guys that go. You know, over time, CJ's going to have a lot of guys that he really likes and wants on the team that the team decides to go another way with. And you can't get sensitive about it.
Nope.
That's the biggest thing is, boy, I mean, and it's okay to get sensitive about it, but you got to get over it. Like, just the understanding that you got to get over it. The organization that I think has done the best job of this over time, really for the last couple decades, is the Ravens.
Yes.
And a lot of that starts with both of the head coaches, both Billick and Harbaugh, have talked about, you know, I think Billick was one that called it scrimmaging. Like, when he and Ozzie Newsome would kind of argue about stuff, they'd scrimmage, you know? Nobody's going to – at the end of the day, you're not winning or losing the argument or anything. You're just scrimmaging, and you're kind of – you're making your point. The other guy is making his point, and you just – you can't allow yourself to get overly sensitive about it.
Yep. Let's compare the answers here between C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans on Bobby Slowik. Here was – C.J. Stroud when he was asked about his offensive coordinator yesterday.
Yeah, I think he did, you know, he did great. You know, I think he, as time went on, you know, he got better and better and better, and, you know, was learning from, you know, his past and what he did in San Fran, learning from what he's done on the defensive side, and, you know, put into his own scheme, you know. So I definitely think, you know, that, you know, he has a lot of success coming his way, and, you know, I've been honored to, you know, have it with him, and hopefully, you know, keep it going. So, you know, I'm definitely, you know, on Bobby's side and appreciate him for, you know, all the things he's taught me and, you know, how great he's been, you know, in my career so far.
Okay, so that was CJ. That was about 45 seconds or so. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday when he was asked about Bobby Slowik this season.
Yeah, I think overall with Bobby, I saw some growth, saw some improvement throughout the year.
Okay. So the... a much, much less detailed answer as to the ABCs of one Robert Slowik.
Okay, I think the gut feeling when you hear that is like, wow, that is not gushing praise whatsoever. That might mean I personally, this would be my read on it. I think D'Amico understands that as a head coach, you got to try to be as objective as possible. And he's in a moment here where over the next week, they're going to be evaluating a lot of things. And I think he probably knows, and he needs to consciously detach himself from his personal feelings about Bobby Slowik. And that also, look, to me, it's an indication that they haven't actually made a decision about Bobby Slowik. And it would be unfair to Bobby Slowik for him to gush about, you know, Bobby Slowik and what a great job he did, and then maybe he goes through this process and they decide to move on. You know, that's not really fair to kind of maybe raise Bobby Slowik's hopes or anything. I do think there will be an honest, or they're going to try to have a really hard, honest, objective, as objective as possible evaluation of Bobby Slowik and everybody else. And I think that's the only thing I'll read into that answer. I'm not going to look at it as like, okay, well, You know, he's 100% back or he's 100% gone.
Yeah, I mean, if we're just going to go like black and white with this, did he do a good job or a bad job this year? Bobby Slowik didn't do a good job this year. Like the offense,
he didn't
have
a good offense.
Yeah,
right.
he didn't. Yeah. Now the reasons are the reasons, and certainly execution, as Ross Tucker pointed out, mental errors on the offensive line. Like those are all things, and those are all player based reasons. But you are responsible for the performance of those players as the offensive coordinator.
The hard thing for DeMeco is that the play for Bobby, one of the arguments for Bobby would be that, okay, he's got 2 years of history now with Deshaun and
CJ.
Deshaun and Bobby Slowik, excuse me, CJ. CJ and Bobby Slowik are, you know, maybe on the same wavelength. They know how to communicate with each other. CJ understands the verbiage and the philosophies and all of that. And there's a lot to be said for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're building that Rolodex of things that they remember. But also on the flip side of it, it's like, man, sometimes you don't have to overthink it. Sometimes there's people out there that are just better at it.
Yeah.
And okay, yeah, there's a learning curve as you learn Chip Kelly's verbiage or something like that. But that it's like if you're training yourself to be a really, really good marksman, with, you know, your daddy's old deer slayer shotgun or something, and all of a sudden you get a sniper rifle with a $5,000 scope.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. Turns out I'm actually a much better marksman now with this $5,000 scope. Yes. That's the difference.
And the enthusiasm to learn how to use that weapon quickly.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like you're motivated to get into the. I don't think motivation's ever a problem for CJ Stroud. Like he's whatever the offense is, he'll be immersed in the playbook. But man, yeah, like something different. You know,
I've got a nice old boy. I know all the ins and outs, and I just feel like this old 30-odd is it's a gun for me because I've spent so much time with it. But man, you get all of a sudden. You get a rifle with an infrared scope or something, and man, yeah.
CJ talked about that exact thing yesterday. The having the same OC for the first 2 years, maybe providing stability. What could it be like in year three?
I don't know how people can bounce from coordinator to coordinator. I know that I can't imagine. You know, that's probably really tough, you know, so I definitely don't recommend that. You know, I definitely think you can find a rapport with a guy and, you know, build that, do it to the best of your ability. And, you know, yeah, it would be great, you know, to have 3 years with that same scheme, you know, that same type of X's and O's and things like that would be great. So, yeah.
All right. And then for CJ, that's the right answer. Like he's not even if he doesn't totally feel that way, even if he does feel like there are some limitations right now.
I think that's you're right, and he can't envision it. I don't think he's putting it in his mind. I think that CJ is very much like he understands the reality of the league and that there's going to be change, but also he's not going to abandon a guy that he probably likes and cares about and everything all like that. I think this might be one of those moments where, as a quarterback, like this is where you don't want to be involved with it necessarily, and it's hard to do. Like you're not going to be the guy that's. You don't want to be the guy that's responsible for, you know, getting somebody fired, but also that you also don't know exactly what you don't know.
Right.
And that it's not always that, oh, the grass is greener on the other side, and that there is a lot of value in having that shared experience.
Well, this is where there's got to be big trust by CJ and DeMeco Ryans. You know, I'm assuming DeMeco along with Nick Caserio are making these decisions about the staff that DeMeco said. I mean, it does sound like there is something coming down the pike. Now, maybe Strouser ends up being the guy who takes the fall for what happened offensively.
That's a big change.
Yeah, that could be, because there's already been reports that he won't be back next year. But I thought it was noteworthy that DeMeco Ryans walked into that press conference yesterday before there was a single question asked and basically said anything about staffing or about the players' decisions there, you know, basically saying we haven't made any decisions yet. That's going to be later in the week.
The really interesting thing, and maybe the most valuable thing for the Texans in all of this decision making, is the exit interview with Chris Strouser, if he is indeed retiring. Because I know there's coaches out there listening right now, that the arguments between offensive line coaches and offensive coordinators can be pretty epic. Because there's times where the O-line coach feels like, bro, you are asking me to do the freaking impossible, dude. And it's making me look like an ass clown. And there's other times where the offensive coordinator feels like, oh, man, why can you not get these guys to do this? It seems pretty simple. Mm-hmm. They're not always on the same page. And that's what we have zero ability to decipher. No matter how smart you are at football, you just don't know the dynamics of what the offensive coordinator is asking the O-line coach to do and vice versa. And so Chris Strausser, maybe in conversations about the way things went and everything, they might be able to glean some things either positively or negatively about Bobby Slowick.
Does Nick Caserio have something up his sleeve? One player in open locker room yesterday basically said that. What could it be? We'll speculate. That's fun. Ooh. We'll do that. We got the Petty Cast coming up. Top of the hour. Tuesday Petty Cast coming up at 8 o'clock. Stay there.